For those who love to read books, there probably is nothing like a good mystery. Their adrenaline pumps as they go through the mysteries, trying to find the clues and the secrets and the revelations that they will have, and they love to talk about some of their favorite mystery authors, such as Agatha Christie, or Arthur Conan Doyle, or Edgar Allan Poe, or Joseph Conrad, or Ian Fleming, or Jehovah God. Whoops, how did his name get in there? Well, there is a theological term for the word mystery, and that term is divine secret. And the first time we learn about it is in Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever." Now, Jesus also had something to say about that as well. In Mark 4, he was alone with his 12 disciples, and listen to what he told them in verse 11. "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables." There are mysteries of God that we will never fully understand this side of heaven. If we could understand all, we would be all, but we simply cannot. Only God can fully understand God. In fact, one of the greatest mysteries of the entire Bible is summed up in four words. In the beginning, God. Mystery. Tremendous mystery. How can you or me, or how can anyone peel back all of the layers of the mysteries of God found in the 66 books that we call the Bible? You cannot do it. It cannot be done unless the Holy Spirit of God reveals to you the mystery. He's in charge of that. God decides to whom he is going to share the secrets of the kingdom of God. Today we're still in the first chapter of the book of Colossians. This is verse 25. Paul said this, "I have become the church's servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints." 21 times in the epistles, Paul used the word mystery. And in all of those 21 times, it's a wonderful spiritual truth that God reveals by divine inspiration and by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, just two verses later, in verse 27, Paul pulls back that veil and he reveals the mystery here. And here is what he said. "God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you." Hallelujah! Christ in you is the divine mystery, the hope of glory. Now, you may be thinking, well, I already knew that. Duh. Why did I come here to hear that again? I've heard that all my life. Hopefully you have heard it. Hopefully you did know it. But grasp this truth. At one time, you were clueless. You did not even know there was a mystery. Once you were blind, but now you can see. Amen. Some people are blind and deaf to the things of God, and they do not even realize it. I heard a story. I like stories. I heard a story about an astronomer, a great astronomer, who was on an airplane flying to give a lecture in a great university, and his seatmate turned out to be a preacher. And so they struck up a conversation, and the astronomer said something really arrogant to the preacher. He said, "I know everything that there is to know and that I need to know about religion." And the preacher was both delighted to hear that and also a little shocked to hear that. And he said, really? Well, where did you study theology and how much of the Bible have you read? The astronomer said, oh, I haven't studied theology and I haven't read much of the Bible at all, but I know everything that I need to know. And that is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's all I need to know. It's enough for me. And when the preacher heard that, he said, well, based on that, then I suppose I know all about astronomy. And the scientist scoffed at him a little bit. He says, okay, then tell me, what do you know about the cosmos? And the preacher said, oh, it's easy. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. When it comes to the wonderful divine mysteries of God, none of us knows as much as we think we know. But what we know because God has chosen to reveal it to us. Not man, but God. God has chosen to reveal a great mystery to you, and that mystery is Christ in you. When did he conceive that plan? Well, surely you know that God did not conceive that plan when you were born. It happened much, much earlier than that. He did not conceive that plan in Bethlehem's manger. It happened much earlier than that. He did not conceive that plan when Noah built the ark. It happened earlier than that. He did not conceive it when he established a covenant with Abraham. He did not conceive it when his heart was broken by the disobedience of Adam and Eve. God's mysterious plan for your salvation began before time itself. Wow. God's mysterious existence itself. One of the greatest mysteries, three persons in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, was revealed in the book of Genesis when he said, let us make man in our image, referring to the three persons of the Trinity. Mystery. Mystery. The staggering truth that God's plan for Jesus Christ is eternal is beyond our ability to grasp or articulate to other people. The staggering truth is that he chose to reveal it to you, and it is humbling, it is thrilling at the same time. When did he do that? When did he reveal his son to you? When did you accept the truth that Jesus Christ is your Savior from eternal damnation? When did you move from head knowledge to heart knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What did God use to open your heart to him? Whom did God use to touch your spirit and to help you realize that Jesus Christ is God's Son, your Savior, your Lord? For every person in here, there is a testimony. For every person in here. Some of you would say that there has never been a time in my life when I did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not true. If you have been born again, you have been born again. Think about that. If you have been born again, you have been born again. Prior to that, you were lost. You may not remember when you actually accepted the mystery of Jesus Christ in you, but you did. It happened, and it happened because God wanted it to happen for you and with you. If you have not been born again, then praise God, you have the greatest mystery of God ahead of you. It's still coming. God is seeking your soul. God is trying to draw you to himself. Give in and give up and accept Jesus Christ for who he is. And then the mystery will be solved forever. One of the great joys of a good mystery is the clues, all the clues that you read and try to decipher. God gave countless clues about the mystery of his son in every book of the Bible, all 66 of them. I am sure most of you have heard this before, so what I am about to share with you is for those who have never heard it. In Genesis, Jesus was the creator and the promised redeemer. In Exodus, he was the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he was our high priest. In Numbers, he was the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he was the prophet like Moses. In Joshua, he was the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he was the judge and the lawgiver. In Ruth, he was the kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he was the prophet, the priest, and the king. In 1 and 2 Kings, he was the ruler greater than Solomon. In 1 and 2 Chronicles, he was the son of David. In Ezra, he was the faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he was the one who restores. In Esther, he was the protector of his people. In Job, he was our ever-living redeemer. In the Psalms, he is the Lord who is our shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, Jesus is our wisdom. In the Song of Solomon, Jesus is the lover and the bridegroom. In Isaiah, he was the suffering servant and the prince of peace. In Jeremiah and Lamentations, he was the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, Jesus is the Son of Man. In Daniel, he is the stranger in the fire with us. In Hosea, he is the bridegroom. In Joel, the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he was the burden bearer. In Obadiah, the mighty Savior. In Jonah, the forgiving God. In Micah, he cast our sins into the sea. Into Nahum, he was our strength and our shield. In Habakkuk, he was the great evangelist crying for revival. In Zephaniah, he was the store of the remnant. In Haggai, he was the cleansing foundation. In Zechariah, he was the warrior who saves. In Malachi, the son of righteousness. In Matthew, he was the Messiah. In Mark, he was the miracle worker. In Luke, the son of man. In John, the son of God. In Acts, he is the Savior of the world. In Romans, he is the righteousness of God. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, he is the power and the love of God. In Galatians, he is the one who sets us free. In Ephesians, he is the unity of our church. In Philippians, he is the God who meets our every need. In Colossians, he is the fullness of the Godhead. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is the returning king. In 1 and 2 Timothy, he is the mediator between God and man. In Titus, he is the blessed hope. In Philemon, he is the friend, closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he is the great high priest. In James, he is the great physician. In 1 and 2 Peter, he is the chief shepherd. In 1, 2, and 3 John, he is the everlasting love. In Jude, he is the God, our Savior. And in Revelation, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the first, the last, the Alpha and the Omega, and your soon and returning King. Hallelujah! All through the Bible. And that's why Paul got excited and passionately shared his conviction to the Colossians when he said this: God gave me a commission to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, we labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. That should be our passion as well, brothers and sisters. And that is, we have read the clues, and we know the mystery and how it all turns out. We have discovered it. And those of us who are in Christ need to admonish and to teach everyone about this wonderful Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, our King and our God, our Lord. And here's the scary part. When we stand before him on that day of judgment, is it possible that Jesus might start listing all the people to whom you did not share the gospel of Jesus Christ, even though you had the opportunity? Is it possible that he would list by name the people you missed? And he would say, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was naked, I was in prison, and you did nothing about it. Could it be possible that he would say, I gave you opportunity after opportunity to share with others the greatest mystery of life of all time, and you were too preoccupied with your own life to care about theirs? That's scary. If you saw someone about to step in front of a moving bus, would you warn them? I believe you would. I believe you would shout your warning to them. If you saw someone rejecting our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, would you warn them? Or would you avoid them? As you come to the Lord's table again today, thank God that he has revealed his great mystery. Christ in you, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me your great salvation, so rich and free. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this table. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this mystery. And we thank you that you live in us. And now we come to you in joy because of Jesus Christ. I pray in his name. Amen.